You're listening to Engage Arizona, public policy for daily life.
Hi, thanks for joining us. At Center for Arizona Policy, we've been really looking forward to doing this series on school choice options to talk to both parents and students on what worked in their school choice and what didn't. And at Center for Arizona Policy, our philosophy, our approach to education is that how a parent educates their child is between the parent and God. It's the parent's decision. At Center for Arizona Policy, we want to support parents in whatever choice they make for schooling their children, whether that choice is public district, public charter, homeschools, online academies, or private schools. We want to support the parents and ensure that parents have the broadest range of options available in our state. In Arizona, we're blessed to have a wide range of schooling options, and that's what this series is all about. School choice really is a beautiful choice in our state. So with me today to talk about school choice is Tanya Mihailo. I said it right, right?
Yes.
It took me a while to learn how to say Mihailo, but I've got that right. And Tanya, just start with sharing a little bit about your family.
I'm married. We have been married for almost 22 years. We have a 16-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old son. So we got two kids in high school now.
Well, and we're here to talk about school choice, but I have to say thank you to both you and Wayne because of your service, because you're both veterans.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. That's actually how we met.
Right, at the Naval Academy, right?
No, we both went there, but we actually both met in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Yeah. How many people can say that?
Not many.
That's right. That's right. So your daughter's the oldest, right?
Yes.
The older child.
Mm-hmm.
So for your two, what schooling options have you chosen for your two kids?
Oh, Christian education all the way. It was really a priority to us to feel like we would send our kids to a place where we weren't feeling undermined by what was being said or done or making their faith seem like a Sunday fantasy. It just really felt right. And as we saw, our duty as parents to make sure that our kids' faith was going to be really strong, not to hide them away or anything like that. We talk about all kinds of stuff, mm-hmm. but to make sure they have a good foundation. It was important.
How have you been in the same private Christian school the whole time?
For the most part, yes. We actually did move out of state, and at one point we had them in a Christian school when we were in Florida.
Okay. And how did you find the Christian school that you've chosen for your children?
It's been really solid. It's been really good. It is small, we like that, but at the same time, it's just nice to be able to talk to the teachers, know the other parents, and get a chance to know that you're with like-minded people in terms of, you know, it's a scary world out there, and just knowing you have your kids around, especially families that are like-minded with you, that makes you feel a lot better as a parent.
So share a little bit about what's the curriculum been like. I mean, are biblical beliefs woven throughout the curriculum and throughout the classes, or how does that work?
It actually is. We just love the fact that, for example, in math, you know, math isn't just presented in in isolation. It's presented as a part of a way of communicating and understanding what God has created. And the math teacher loves the fact that he can do that. History in terms of his story. It's a classical school, so they do a ton of reading about all sorts of things. Classical Greek and Roman and just all the way back on everything. And again, God's always a part of his own story, and that's a really solid thing to us.
What has the Bible curriculum been like?
The Bible curriculum has been, I would just say it's very much a worldview school. It's just a part of every subject. Understanding who God is in light of science, in light of math, in light of language and history. It's just woven throughout. So they have chapel, but it's definitely not one of those schools where you just kind of take the same classes as everyone else would in a public school, but you go to chapel. It's really, truly woven into the curriculum.
So sometimes we'll hear that, private schools, especially private Christian schools, that their academics are not as strong as maybe your local charter school or district school. How have you found the academics as far as rigorous, up to par? What have you found?
Oh, it's rigorous. They lose students over it. They actually, you get parents who actually say they don't want their kid to have to work that hard, which I find a little astonishing, but it's true. I mean, they have a great time being kids, but they have a lot of reading to do. I look at the amount of reading they have to get done over a weekend at the high school level, and you know, I'm a little deer in the headlights with it, but they've always bitten off on that challenge throughout the academics, and I think that's great. I think you need to be pushed at some point when you're a kid. The ability to understand the curriculum, see it, see what they're reading, and say, okay, it's not just all happy-go-lucky sorts of things. And I've seen, you know, some of it's hard to read because it's from ancient times or something. And I'm giving my kids a lot of credit because they're gutting it through. But that's what you want them to learn how to do, is look at things from a different culture's perspective, and as well as just not read something that would be just a pleasure book.
So when we talk about academics, what about things like AP classes? It seems like a number of the private Christian high schools do offer significant AP classes.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, I don't know for myself if they would, I think they're all kind of AP classes. Uh-huh. They have different levels you can go to. In the high school, they have what's called an omnibus class, which is sort of a combination of theology and language and arts. And that's a hefty class. It's a lot of rhetoric, a lot of interacting, having to present your case in front of your classmates. So some of the kids are taking classes at school at Mesa Community College or other colleges at the same time. So we just had a kid, one of my daughter's best friends just got a free full scholarship in computer science up to NAU. So it's solid. It's just solid. They work hard.
Well, that's a good question, because sometimes students who graduate from a private Christian high school, are they having trouble getting into the university or at the university level?
No, not at all. These kids are hard chargers. You know, we had one kid who actually really was doing well, got the congressional nomination to go to a Naval Academy, and he actually didn't get it for a medical reason. But that's the only thing that kept him out.
Well, so that's exciting to see.
Yeah, to see that from such a small thing. Great things come from Christian education.
So what about the interaction about things like the Christian schools, like whether it, like competitions, the spelling bees, those types of things? I mean, what kind of, have you seen those opportunities in Christian schools?
Oh my gosh, Redeemer is just ripping it at that stuff for such a small school. They can be part of larger Christian associations that are nationwide, and those nationwide associations will have the district-wide spelling bee. Then they're off to Colorado to do the next level of spelling bee. Ditto for the geography bee, which the times I've gone to that thing, I felt should be called the everything bee, because I'm thinking, how did my daughter get out on a question about types of clouds? But it's just tough. So our kids absolutely get to participate in all that sort of stuff. And the cool thing in the classical side of it is they also get to do the art fairs and that sort of thing as well. So they kind of get that art buzz and as well.
So the school that your children have been at, you would say it's a classical education as well, which not all the Christian schools, I think, would probably say that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important distinction to note.
It is. Yeah, my husband actually went to a classical school when he was younger, and we've all done a combination of things over the course of our life. At that school, we feel like it's just very solid to have the, they call it the trivium, but you know, they're memorizing a lot of facts when they're younger. They're taking Latin. They have a lot of motion and singing where they're remembering all these facts, including their Bible verses. These kids are ripping off. I think in kindergarten, the kindergartners have to recite the entire chapter of Luke 2 for Christmas.
Mm.
And they get up there in front of the whole school and do it. And a lot of people are just blown away by that. But kids can do it if they're allowed to. The logic phase in the junior high school, the rhetoric phase, the you know, somebody says something to you and instead of just responding, learning to ask a question, that's been really fun to watch the kids do.
So what's a drawback? I mean, what drawbacks are, you know, if we're going to do a pro-con kind of analysis, what would you say are concerns that you've seen or things, maybe things for a parent who's trying to decide what their school option is going to be? What would be, you know, like a con or something that maybe isn't the greatest?
The only thing I can think of, well, I would say two things. One, the pragmatic side would be the whole sports thing. Oh, my kid can't be on the team sport. But you know what I've really found around here is if your kid isn't playing club sports anyway, a lot of times they have trouble getting up into the higher levels of sports in general. So there's always club sports. There's always ways for kids to compete, and my kids do. The other thing, honestly, is maybe taking heat from other parents who are asking you, looking at you cross-eyed about why you don't have your kid in public school. And the answer is, it's my kid, and that's the best choice for them. So I think that's probably the biggest thing, is that you have to have it in your mind why you want your kid at that school, why it's the best answer for you and your family. And then when people try and give you heat for it, just look them straight in the face and say, that's the best decision for my family, and we made it.
So, you know, another thing that I think people ask sometimes is, what if your child has special needs? Like, are special needs accommodated? Or they always think that the child who starts in kindergarten or first grade, you don't know what their special needs may be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is the school able to meet those special needs for, like, all 12 years if a child develops some special needs?
That depends. That really
okay.
does depend.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have found, having friends at a lot of different Christian schools, is that if you find that your kid isn't getting what they need here, you may have to step up to the plate and do some looking around. It doesn't mean you have to completely give up on Christian education, but it depends on what's going on there. But I've seen different schools that offer different programs. I've also seen that the classical method is actually pretty flexible in terms of having some help. So it really just depends on the school and what's available and what's going on with your specific child. We've had some kids, I know especially in the elementary school level, they've done really, really well. And also part of that is because I think they're nurtured well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had one kid who actually had a lot of physical needs and would be out a lot for various procedures, and to know, you know, they're calling him up or saying, hey, we're praying for you, we can't wait to see you again. You can't buy that.
Christian school adds something.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because you gain the whole community as well. And I like seeing these kids who have the opportunity. You know, at our school there's this I guess Christian school kind of get this reputation of being a you know, ritzy hoity-toity thing. Not the case. We've got all kinds of people at our school, from maids to landscapers and foster kids. I mean, you have the whole, it's a very diverse school.
So that brings up the issue of how do you pay for private Christian school? Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of parents are considering that. They don't begin to know how they would pay it. I mean, I know tuition can vary among schools. I think probably mm-hmm. the range of tuition might be maybe as low as $5,000 or $6,000, but could go up to certainly over $10,000 or $11,000 mm-hmm. in high school years. So what the students at your school, have they been able to take available, use the scholarships to be able to help the tuition?
Yes. I would say, from what I've seen and just talking to the principal, that we probably have 70% of the school getting significant portion of scholarships. And the parents work the program hard. We've got a person on staff who will say, come in, we're having right now, I've got the computer set up, we're going to get all your stuff in, I'm going to help you write your essays. And I want to say, I saw several people last year, I know one family for sure who's had their kid in Christian education, multiple ones, for all 13 years, and I think they only paid 1 year out of pocket, because they just work the program hard, and they step out in faith, because it's scary. It's scary, but if they step out in faith, it's probably just as scary for the school to accept you, but we
do. So if you're a mom or dad and you're listening to this podcast and or watching the video, the thing to know is that in Arizona, you can apply for a scholarship to different, what's called a school tuition organization. And the school tuition organization provides scholarships. There are about over 50 school tuition organizations in the state. They all have varying policies, but they will provide, some of them will provide a scholarship up to 100% of the tuition amount. And they have different policies as far as how you apply. But, you know, certainly check out Center for Arizona Policy. We have those resources. One of the ones that we have been closely aligned with has been the Arizona Christian School Tuition Organization. That's acsto.org. That's their website. Another one is Tops for Kids, with Harry Miller's executive director there. And so those both have, you know, a heart for helping families afford Christian school when that's the choice that they have made. And now if you're a taxpayer, I want to make sure that I mention this as well, that, you know, as a taxpayer, for example, my husband and I, every year, we donate a certain amount to a school tuition organization. Mm-hmm. Then on our state income taxes, we get a dollar-for-dollar credit, and then those dollars go to help provide these scholarships. And so we have, most Christian schools would tell you, as you said, 70%, that 70 to 80% of the students have some form of scholarship. And so that, mom or dad, if you're thinking about private Christian education, it can be affordable. We do have scholarships that are available, and that's one of our top priorities at Center for Arizona Policy, is to ensure that those scholarships remain available for parents. And that's why elections matter, and I won't go into all of that today, but that's a big part of it. Well, if your two children were here, what would they say about, what do they like about being at a Christian school?
You know, I think they would say they like... I think they would say they like how it builds up their faith. I think they would say that they feel very well prepared to deal with the world, because their faith isn't just a Sunday thing. It's integrated into their real world. And I think they also like the fact that they've just got good friends there. Good friends who believe like they do. And I would even challenge that, because, you know, within the Christian community, everybody doesn't think alike. You know,
We've
got a variety of things going on there, and I do hear about some interesting debates in the classroom over that, but that's good stuff. And they would also say that they get the chance to express their opinions, they get the chance to talk through and have lively discussions. And I'm really excited when I hear about that when they come back, because then they come home and they want to talk about things as well. One other thing real quick, you talked about the scholarships that through ACSTO. Mm-hmm. Businesses can do that too.
That's right.
I know we had some kids at the school that were, and my husband and I are entrepreneurs, and we've been able to donate through School Choice Arizona. Mm-hmm. And use the business tax credit if you're a C or an S Corp. And that's been really cool as well, to have your business tax dollars go to help kids go to school.
And that, I should mention that on both of those, the corporate tax credit and the individual tax credit, that those are targets for those who oppose school choice.
Yes.
To try to eliminate those credits and to try to minimize them. And that's one thing that, you know, we do everything we can to protect that, because of our belief that all parents should have the opportunity. So we heard what your two children would say was a good thing. What would they say would be a not so good thing about being in their school?
I don't know if it's what it's like in a regular public school anymore, but it is hard when kids leave. And you do see parents that leave, they're either tired of trying to work the scholarship program or whatever it is, sometimes in our case maybe the workload. But it's hard when you're in a small school when people come and go. And that's probably the hardest thing.
What is parental involvement like at your school?
It's monstrous. It's monstrous. I don't think that place could survive without it. But that's what smaller schools do. It's the parents have to step up to the plate, and we get to know each other, whether it's people who are helping prepare for a fundraiser or helping to sell ice cream in the courtyard for the senior class or clean up times and working on the facility. It takes parents. Oh, driving for field trips is a big one. We do a ton of field trips at our school, I think every month. But I've done some fun ones. I did one where I had to jump up at 5 o'clock, drive to Flagstaff, hike, go up a canyon, go in a cave. I mean, it was the three hardest. I was exhausted, but my kids had a great time, and I got to go on this wonderful field trip for 3 days with my kids. And I did the fly back to D.C. one as well. So that's a big one.
What was the D.C. trip like?
We got to do that just about a week before the inauguration in 2016.
Oh, wow.
So it was cool to see everything. I'm a D.C. girl. I grew up in that area. It was fun. The kids were just very wide-eyed. A lot of the international students that we have at the school were very wide-eyed, and some people split off and got very stuck in the Library of Congress. That was cool. Some kids went and got their Library of Congress library card and really enjoyed it.
So to kind of wrap up the discussion, for mom or dad that's listening to this and thinking, okay, how do I look into private school options? I mean, how do you even start?
It could be as easy as going on Google and on Google Maps and typing in Christian school. Most of the ones in your neighborhood, I can't think of too many that don't actually pop up there. Read the websites and then take a look and see, and go give them a call. Take a visit. Go see what their classrooms are like. When we moved to Florida from here, we spent a lot of time doing that.
What about test scores? Are test scores available? Can you look at, what kind of benchmarks can you look at for the Christian schools?
You can definitely look at the test scores, and if they're, most of the ones I've seen do a great job of saying these are our test scores and these are the test scores versus the city, versus the state, versus the nation. And typically you're going to see that you're going to get better results in those environments, in the smaller school environment.
Does your school use the state test, or does it use a different kind of state, like an achievement test?
It uses the Iowa test, mm-hmm. which I'm not an expert on that stuff, but I know it was the same one they were using in Florida, so I know it's a nationwide standardized test that they use.
Which, that's another part of the freedom that private schools has, is that they can choose what test they use,
mm-hmm.
So the testing doesn't dictate the curriculum like it might in other school options.
Absolutely, that's mm-hmm. right. And I've seen schools, from what I've heard, where they almost, prep the kids, not for SATs or something, but they'll kind of prep them and run them through, and I don't think our school even does that. They just get them right in there and let them take it, and the results are solid.
Can a student who's considering going to that school shadow a student for a day or
they sure can.
A visit?
Okay. They sure can. That's we encourage that, because you want, the nicest thing about a school is you want it to be the right fit. You're not just looking for the, it has to be a right fit for the entire family. So there's schools that offer different types of programs, whether it's after school, before school, and that's an important question as a parent, that you have to say, what's the best fit for me? What am I willing to do? And that because you want your kid to be successful and you want the want it to be a great fit for the whole family.
So moms and dad, Google to see what schools are in your area. Mm-hmm. Check out their websites. Go visit, shadow, talk to other parents.
Oh, yeah.
All of that. Get a sense. Go to an event. Get a sense of what all is going on at that school before you make the decision.
Absolutely. I mean, the information's out there. I guess the biggest thing is it's work for a parent, just like if I'm going to help my kid buy a car or go to college, it's my job to make sure they're in the right place for them. So it does take a little bit more effort than just saying my kid's going to go to school in the zip code because we live here. Mm-hmm. It's a little harder work, but that's my husband and I kind of say we're as parents, that's what our job is.
That's right. Well, thanks so much for joining us and talking about this. Any concluding thoughts?
Your kid spends 15,000 hours of their life from K to senior in high school, 15,000 hours of their life sitting in a chair in front of somebody else. You need to make sure that you know what they're hearing.
Amen. Thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate it. Good to be here.
Thank you.